It was just a little more than a year ago that a Macintosh was still something you gave to your teacher. But today there are hundreds of thousands of Macintosh computer owners, and the Mac even gets its own computer show here in San Francisco. Is the Macintosh the computer for the rest of us? And who are the rest of us? We'll find out next as we take an in-depth look at the Macintosh on this edition of the Computer Chronicles.
I gotta start that over again. I cracked. You hear that? I cracked. Cracked under pressure. Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by everyone's favorite British-American citizen. He's the master of crumpet cookery. Yes, the Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, Barfun. Sorry.
I haven't heard that one in a while. And how could I forget our next guest? His leather outfits and his thick, rich beard are the envy of the San Franciscan bear community. I can only be talking about one Mr. Buster Kine. Hey, Buster.
Hello.
Are you wearing your leather corset today?
Oh, of course. Every day.
Shirtless, except of course.
Yeah.
Shirtless because of that. We got a great show planned for you guys. We're going to be talking about a rumor that we talked about last week about those ear pods that we we talked about. And I want to say we got it way wrong, but we never actually confirmed that we thought it was true. So we're going to talk about that.
Or else we didn't say it was true.
No, we never did.
Plausibility, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean,
exactly.
That's the whole point of the rumors. You know, you talk about whether they're how plausible they are.
Yeah, and if I recall right, I don't think we thought it was that plausible. But we're also going to be talking about some expectations at WWDC next month. It's kind of sounding like we may not get any new hardware, which would make me sad in the face. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to be talking about the NSA and Apple. Some big news around that. And we're also going to be doing a all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. And the question we're going to be answering, which we'll reveal our answers for at the end of the show, will be: what would your ideal job be if you could do anything, Buster and Leander? So give that one some thought during the show. That one comes from our listener, James Adams. Thank you, James, for that great question. He suggested that on our Facebook page, by the way, facebook.com/theCultCast. Guys, before we get into all our great show topics, I do want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software. You know what? Smile Software does make me smile. I use their most excellent text expander application every single day, especially when I'm preparing for the show. And if you haven't used it, you're missing out on one of the most useful apps available for the Mac. Text expander from Smile saves you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations that you type into text, like full blocks of text, pictures, HTML code, whatever you need to use it for. Try it out yourself. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. And we want to thank them for sponsoring this episode. So should we start with the that rumor? I just got to read you this headline. This was so great. We posted this on Cultimac, how some dude on a toilet... Oh, faking a leak, how some dude on the toilet crapped out last week's hottest Apple rumor. Props goes to Alex Excelsior Heath for that one. So we talked about this last week. This guy posted anonymously on Secret, this forum for posting secrets, that he... Did he say he worked for Apple?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was like implied, yeah.
Okay, and that he was involved in a project for EarPods, and they were going to be building in a heart rate monitor into the next version of EarPods, and the EarPods were going to connect via Lightning, which I thought was super wacky, and so on and so forth. And this rumor exploded right before we recorded the show, actually. Everyone was posting about it. And it turns out this guy, he said... So it was discovered that it was false, and this guy admitted that he was the one that came up with it. And he said that he wrote it in about 5 minutes when he woke up on May 1st. He said he was blurry-eyed, had a headache, and was using the toilet. And he was worried about his blood pressure. So this guy, literally, in the morning, on the toilet, created one of the biggest rumors talked about all last week. And it just got me thinking, how crazy is it that this guy could, totally unverified, right? No one knows who this guy is or if anything he's saying is true. Create one of the most talked about Apple rumors of last week, and he did it. It just shows how hungry we are for content, especially now that we're getting closer.
Yeah, right. Well, he did a good job. It was all very, you know, it was kind of plausible. You know, Secrets had been the source of a big leak before, right? What was the one, the big scoop they had that was leaked on Secrets? Layoffs or somewhere?
God, they had like the Box IPO, and there was a... I don't know. I feel like a couple like firings. One of Google's big guys leaving. That was on.
Oh, Vic Gundrotra or whatever his name is?
Yeah, that one.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I actually talked with the guy that created the rumor. I emailed him once he posted like his confessional. It was pretty hilarious. He said, he said he's like kind of freaked out. Like people were thinking he worked for Nike and then for Apple, but he didn't. He doesn't work for either. He's like a pretty young guy. So he just kind of like came up with that whole rumor and then, you know, it went on to like The Guardian even added like more bits onto it. Like
that's the greatest part, right? Is all the analysis that happened. Even we analyzed it. We're like, would you use something like this? I don't know. It's been confirmed. I think Apple knows best, right? I guess we would use this.
Yeah, all that brain power.
I mean, the whole thing did sound zany to me right from the get-go because I was like, really? You're going to plug your ear pods into the lightning port? Well, then how the heck are you going to charge your phone while you're listening to music?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, it never really made any sense.
But Apple had a couple of patents, right? It has a couple of patents for, you know, for earbuds that will measure your heartbeat.
They do. Okay, I hadn't heard about that. So
yeah, that's kind of what made it kind of plausible.
So there's enough just kind of like pseudo evidence out there that Apple may eventually be thinking about potentially investigating a product like this.
Well, they
and we're like, yep, it's
everything.
Back now.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, they patent everything. You know, it's never the patent. Sometimes you can only tell in retrospect. You know, when you go back and look and you go, oh, you know, they've been patenting this technology for years. But they've been patenting all kinds of technology. I mean, like, you know, the Apple TV, they've got this magic wand. That appeared, you know, that came back into the news again.
Well, we talked about that forever ago, and it's back.
Yeah. Well, they've got lots of patents on that. And then, you know, Jobs had mentioned it. It came out during the Apple Samsung trial, you know, last week. And one of the emails about the top 100 meeting, mm-hmm. one of the agenda items was to talk about the Apple TV, and it was like, you know, the magic wand. And if you go back and look at the patents, they've been patenting this thing since the mid 2000s or the sort of 2007. And they have lots of patents, like, you know, maybe a dozen patents about using this kind of Wii-like magic wand for navigating content on the Apple TV. And there's actually some kind of pretty cool renderings of 3D, of a 3D UI interface. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they'd obviously been looking at this. They've done a lot of work on it. And, you know, all the engineers and all the designers in Johnny Ive's design studio are named on these patents. And, you know, it's something they've obviously got in their lab, but... And, you know, there was some speculation that this could have been, that, you know, what Steve Jobs told Walter Isaacson, how he'd cracked TV. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's kind of reasonable. You know, I'm sure you could. But of course, we've never seen this. You know, they were talking about this. The notes they were leaked came from, I think, 2009 or 2010. So
apparently on the John Gruber podcast, as it called, the talk show, he was saying that there were some really spectacular Apple engineers put on this project so far to start working on this Apple TV. And he kind of speculated that there's no way Apple would be putting this caliber of engineer on the Apple TV project if it wasn't going to be something really big or something that was just drastically different. You know, they put their like their interns on the Apple TV. Like you get hired out of college. Like, here, make an Apple TV, and now they got their primo guys on it.
Yeah, well, they've always had their primo guys on all the, you know, the projects. I mean, one of the interesting things about an interview that came out about the iPhone development was that, you know, all of the major pieces of software, they're all written basically by one person. Mm-hmm. You know, the email client, Safari, the messaging app, you know, that kind of thing. They've always been really, you know, sort of lean, and Steve always had this small team of his, you know, rockstar engineers, and they went from one project to another.
Well, what the hell is the rest of Apple doing then? Well, they have like 60,000 employees. There's one guy making all the stuff that we actually use.
No, they always keep it real small. I mean, it always has been. I don't think the core sort of company hasn't grown that much. You know, like, they've got thousands more employees in the stores, and there's a lot more support staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think products like iTunes and You know, some of the software stuff takes bigger. Some of those teams have expanded, but the sort of core R&D team really hasn't grown that much.
That's really interesting to hear. It's like, because they have a lot of employees, so I wonder what the rest of them are doing. They must be responsible for ensuring that no drones that fly around the campus can peek into the building. So they
right.
put up window shades and that type of thing. Let's talk about Angela Arendt, shall we? Buster, I'm going to go to you with this. Didn't she just get $68 million in stock options for joining Apple and sticking around for a while? Buster?
I totally muted you.
Yeah,
sorry.
You know what? You were being really quiet, and I was actually kind of wondering why Leander was talking, if you were muted or perhaps gone.
My bad. But yeah, she did. She got a huge welcome package from Apple.
Yeah, I'll say.
Like, she's going to get 9 million by June alone. So, but then the other 68 could be worth even more than that with the stock split and Apple's growth. She could.
Does that stock get split?
It hasn't yet.
Yeah, because otherwise it would be diluted if it doesn't.
But the stock, the official Apple stock hasn't split yet.
No, right, but doesn't it that happen in on June? The 1st, I think, of June.
Okay.
Or something around
Man,
there.
Man, I mean, I'm no investor, but I think it's going to go up pretty fast after that. What were you saying, Leander?
Yeah, so her stock will split along with everyone else's.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, $68 million in stock for 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's insane. And of course, you know, in the U.S., if you have a stock longer than a year, it's considered a long-term investment, and you only have to pay 15% taxes on that gain, I guess. Wow, that's incredible. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and I would love to hear if you guys think there's any validity to this. Apparently, there's whispers echoing around Cupertino that she's being groomed to be the next CEO.
Yeah, that's rumors. She turned around Burberry, turned it around, and then she's leaving it for Apple. To not just run the retail, but also the website. So, you know, maybe she could play like that Tim Cook role of like running like the company while the creative people do the products.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, I don't really know very much about Angela, so I can't really speak to her past work experience. But don't you kind of think that you would need to be technical in nature and have experience with computers and that type of thing to be the CEO of the biggest technology company in the world?
I don't know. That's a question that Leander should
have. Yeah, I don't know. Leander, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, because the last time they did this was with John Sculley.
And, I was just going to say that. That back actually in the 80s, not so well.
Well, I think there's a certain, you know, I think some business types that would say that, you know, a business is a business and mm-hmm. that, you know, you're the same. And at the CEO level, you know, a lot of it is run by the senior vice presidents and you know, the organization itself. But yeah, I would say it was definitely help. I would say it was definitely helpful. You'd have to know the business. I mean, she knows the fashion business, and she did a great job at Burberry, and I think that's why Apple hired her, because I think they're going to get into fashion.
Well, Apple is in the fashion business too.
It is.
They already are. Yeah. What I mean by that is they have to make their products desirable to people. And I mean, ultimately, an Apple computer is just a computer, right? It's, you know, just like a PC, except all the magic they add to it that makes you actually want to buy it. So maybe in that regard, she would be a good choice, because she understands that really marketing and good product design are what kind of drive company sales. So
yes
who
and
knows?
No. Yeah. Well, you know, I think Steve's always said that Apple was like a sort of three-legged stool, and it was technology, marketing, and something else.
I think you should be the CEO.
he was marketing when no one else in Silicon Valley was.
Yeah.
And he was always dismissed for most of his career as just like a slick marketer, you know, like he's someone who knows about advertising, makes things look good, but he doesn't know technology. Jobs is always dismissed as a marketer, not as a technologist. It was the one who's seen as who had the technology chops, which may or may not be true, but you know, Jobs, I think, was no slouch when it came to technology at all.
Well, he certainly eventually learned it, right? I mean, the guy eventually learned exactly.
Yeah, he was pretty technically savvy. I mean, he never sort of tried to blind people with his technology prowess, but he was pretty pretty knowledgeable about technology.
Yeah, certainly towards the end. I want to move on and talk about WWDC. We got somewhat of a disappointing bit of, I don't want to call it news, rumor from Recode this week. But before I would do that, I want to thank our new sponsor, Smile Software, for sponsoring this episode. I was just telling Leander before we hit record, I'm thrilled to have Smile sponsoring because they make some of the best applications for the Mac and iPhone that are out there. And one of my favorite applications that I always install whenever I get a new Mac set up is Text right. Expander.
It's the one that everyone always puts in. It's one of the classics, isn't it?
It is. It's extremely, extremely useful. And that's because Text Expander allows you to create little snippets of text that then do something else for you, such as inject like a whole paragraph of text that you may, you know, need to use again and again, maybe a bit of code that you use often. I use it for the date a lot, so I set up a little snippet that I can type. It's DDATE, just that little bit of text. And when I type that, that text is replaced with the current date and time. And I use that kind of thing all the time when I'm, you know, creating the titles for Cultcast documents, that type of thing. And also, developers I know really like Text Expander because let's say you're an HTML developer or a front-end developer, and you're using code over and over again. Well, you don't want to be typing the same thing over and over and over. So you could create a snippet, and that snippet could be used over and over and over again to save you a ton of time. And plus, it helps you eliminate mistakes in your code because you're not obviously typing everything in manually. One of the apps I install right away when I get a new Mac set up, I want to encourage you guys to try it. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast and sign up for a free trial. Download the application. It's free to download and free for you to try and test it out. There's so many functions built in. I think you're going to find a lot of uses for it. Even in your day-to-day emails, you could just create email signatures and use Text Expander to insert those when you're sending out your emails. So that's smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Definitely recommend the application. Go check it out. Okay, guys, let's talk about WWDC. Kind of disappointing, as I said. So apparently Recode came out with a report that said we're not to expect, or we shouldn't expect, any new hardware to be announced at WWDC, which is, I'm sure, is a bummer for a lot of people because I think a lot of us were expecting maybe something, perhaps a new iWatch. I don't know. High hopes. Maybe a little something. I mean, toss me your bone, Tim.
Yeah, I don't think the iWatch was really expected at all, but I think people were kind of hoping that like Apple TV or an Apple TV SDK would be revealed at least at the developers conference.
Now that would be cool. So, and as long as we're talking about Apple TV, so we're kind of expecting Apple to eventually open this up to developers so that they can, you know, create apps for it. And part of that thing that you just said, or part of that rumor that you just said, Buster, was going to be that the Apple TV is going to be like revealed to be like a gaming console and or going to be heavy on the gaming. And there's going to be APIs so developers can use that. And wasn't there something else that I'm forgetting?
I don't know. Maybe like there's been rumors of like a controller possibly too.
Okay, that motion controller that Leander mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
So what was that?
Nothing.
Oh. Don't mumble. I'm telling you not to mumble and I'm mumbling. Yeah. Anyway, so now it seems like at WWDC, it's going to be focused mainly on the next version of OS X, which is still going to be cool because reportedly it's going to be a pretty big change, and they're going to be taking a lot of design cues from iOS 7 and integrating those into the next version of OS X. What do you guys think about that? How do you feel about getting your next version of OS X iOS 7-ized?
I hope it looks good. I mean, I hope they don't go crazy with it and make it too simple, and I don't think they will.
What if they eliminate all Windows? You can only use one application at a time.
That would be horrible. Yeah. That's like, yeah, something that would freak people out.
They're like, we know that you love this on your iPhone, and we brought this experience to the Mac. It'll be Johnny Ive explaining it, though. So, and we say that now, but once we hear his luscious British accent revealing the feature, we're all going to be like, this is the best thing ever. Yeah. I felt like I was too distracted on my Mac, and finally I can just have one app open at a time. You know who's not going to be happy about this change?
Who?
Michael Stever. a little inside joke. Someone that we all follow on Twitter. Hopefully, Michael, you're listening and you can hear me say, please don't complain about this for the next year and a half. just get over it.
Well, he's
please.
Not alone. You know, like it still crops up. There are still people who go on and on and on about iOS 7, how much they hate it and how yes. It's like the turning point in Apple's history. You know, it's like it's a sure sign that they are completely and utterly lost without Steve Jobs. It's so doomed. It's really weird. It's like it cropped up on some comments on some blog I was looking at the other day. It wasn't even about iOS 7 or anything else, but someone started the ball rolling. And then it was like dozens of comments about it.
iOS 7, when it first came out, I wasn't super duper thrilled when I was seeing the screenshots and stuff. But when I actually got my hands on it, I actually liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember being quite surprised because a lot of people had been talking so much crap about it. I thought I was going to hate it. And I like it. I mean, it's not perfect, certainly, but it's definitely a nice design direction, and it's nice to see Apple try something new. I am a little worried about the desktop version. I'm kind of with you, Buster. I hope that they don't overdo it and get rid of all the textures and all the shading and everything and just have our next version look like, I don't know, Windows 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks really good. Look at iCloud, you know, the iCloud interface.
That's
I think
a great
it looks
point.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I guess if you kind of want a preview of what it's going to look like, iCloud is a great place to go check it out. So for WWDC, if you are expecting or had your hopes set on new hardware and software, well, software you're going to get, but hardware, unfortunately, looks like probably not. Although you never know. Maybe we'll get a one more thing. Maybe Steve will come out, or definitely not Steve. Maybe Tim
Low
will come
Steve.
Out. Maybe Tim will come out and say, one more thing, y'all. I always have my fingers crossed for that. Yeah, definitely not Steve Jobs. He won't be making an appearance there. Let's talk about this, Buster. Apparently, Apple has posted a new job listing for a Buzz marketing manager.
Oh, yeah.
Buster, I think you'd be good at this.
Yeah, really? Okay.
You're good at creating buzz, and you have a buzz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
those are two requirements right there. So
it's funny. DJ VB said that exact same thing to me just
that
the other
same
day.
Joke?
Like, yeah, he was like, Buster, you should do this job.
I think you'd be great. Well, care to tell us a little bit more about this job listing and why we should care about it?
Apple, they have a new listing for like a Buzz marketing manager in New York. Mostly it comes on the heels of like Samsung and like all the selfies with like Ellen at the Oscars and the Boston Red Sox in the White House and stuff like that. It looks like maybe Apple's looking to expand what it's already doing and get, you know, more elite people to like show off their iPhones in public and stuff.
This is an area, we talked about this in past shows quite a bit, I think. This is an area where I think Apple really needs to start making more of an effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I don't know if you guys remember the conversation we had a while ago where we were going over those emails, those like internal emails that got leaked between Phil Schiller and Apple's marketing firm, oh. TWA, Shai Day, remember that?
Yeah.
And he was saying to them, like, we need to come up with some more ways to market Apple and come up with some better ads. And that was at the time when Samsung was doing those Apple attack ads. And then, of course, they went on to do these really great kind of guerrilla-style social media ads with the one that happened. It was at the Oscars, right, where that happened? And they did the selfie?
Yeah. Yeah, but name any others.
Well, Buster, you had some others on tap, didn't you? I mean, I can't really recall anything else that they did.
Selfies? There was Poppy, Pedro Ortiz from the Boston Red Sox at the White House. He snapped a selfie with Obama, and it was like an ad for Samsung. And so the White House has subsequently banned selfies with Obama because of it.
Well, he took one with Joe Biden, didn't he, in the back of a limo?
See, that's cool, and that's that kind of subtle way of getting your product across is something I'd love to see Apple start doing. Because really, it's funny because we always see these celebrities doing those types of advertisements, and then ultimately someone reveals that they're the rest of the time they're using an iPhone, or they actually tweeted a BlackBerry ad like from their iPhone or something.
Right, exactly.
It's like they're all using iPhones, but they're getting paid to promote Samsung.
Well, Ellen did that. She snapped some backstage, right, at the Oscar show.
Right, yeah.
She did her selfie, and then she goes back and, like, immediately grabs her iPhone after.
That is so funny. I mean, that just tells the whole story right there. It's like, she's like, selfie with the Samsung, hands it over. She's like, who's got my check for $4 million? Someone take this piece of crap Samsung from me. Where's my iPhone? I'm going to go backstage and take the pictures I want to take.
I wouldn't have said Apple has a problem with this sort of buzz marketing at all. I mean, they did that. The only thing is, I mean, I guess they're starting to think that, you know, they did the iPhone 5C campaign on Tumblr,
which was a great idea, I thought.
Yeah, you know, and I imagine they're looking at things like Pinterest and want to get into things like that. But I wouldn't say they had a problem. I mean, Apple's always been like the master of product placement. Mm-hmm. You know, even when it was in trouble back in the mid and late 90s, early 2000s, it was always like, you know, it had a much larger presence in TV shows and in movies than it did, in like real life.
What were you going to say, Buster?
Oh, I was just like, because I did this whole article about Apple product placements after mm-hmm. the Samsung selfies thing. And like one of them was like right before Steve Jobs' return, Apple did a promotion with Mission Impossible for the PowerBook. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Like such a cheesy marketing campaign, like with a Tom Cruise in the commercial. And then it's like, it wasn't like nothing is impossible or something like that. Some really awesome tagline.
Well, they were doing exactly what Samsung's doing now, you know, which is trying to get that kind of like the big tentpole, you know, movie Hollywood tie-in and get everyone sort of like talking about it. And it kind of like is a little bit, Apple, it's not desperate, but it's sort of, you know, I think Apple doesn't really need it because they get it anyway. I mean,
that's the thing is, it was a far cry from what Steve Jobs implemented just like a year later, where you would never have something like that, like a movie promotion with Tom.
Yeah, nothing is overt, definitely.
Yeah,
sometimes it does come off looking really synthetic. I don't know if you guys ever watched CSI, but they're always promoting Windows stuff in there, and they're using Bing, and you're like,
I noticed that on a few shows. Anytime you see a Windows phone, I'm like, yeah, you know that's a paid advertisement.
And they always put the IT people in these stupid Bluetooth headsets. It's like, that's how everyone knows you're the CSI IT person, right? You're the person that understands technology, because you have a freaking Bluetooth headset on all the time, even when you're not anywhere near a phone or on the phone. You're just constantly wearing it. And then you attach it to like your Surface tablet, and you're doing all these cool things and solving mysteries on your Surface.
And also, they never get frustrated. They never start like
no, exactly. They don't sit there staring, totally confused, trying to figure out the interface, jaw like half agape for 5 minutes, just trying to figure out how to work it. Leander, we forgot to talk about Katie Cotton retiring, and since we're talking about marketing, I definitely want to do that. But before we talk about that, because I think press people everywhere might be a little excited to hear the news, I want to thank Audible for sponsoring this show. We haven't had Audible on in a little while, but Audible, fantastic service, of course, for downloading and listening to entertainment on your iPod, your iPhone, audio entertainment, I should say. And that's mostly ebooks. If you guys like to read, if you like to listen to ebooks like I do, Audible is the way to do it. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from fiction to nonfiction, bestsellers, worst sellers. Is that a category? I don't know if it is. Every category you can imagine. Leander, is your book on Audible?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. That's gonna be my book recommendation.
There you go.
So the great thing about Audible is, and I know you guys have both used it, is you can listen to books while you're doing other things, which is why I love it. So whenever I go to the gym, oftentimes when I'm slumming it on the bus, that's when I get caught up on audiobooks. things that maybe I didn't get a chance to read or don't really want to read. I'd rather just listen to. And with Audible, you just download it to your iDevice and you can listen to it wherever you like. And one of the cool things about Audible, and I don't think most people know this, is that they have a great listen guarantee in place. So if you're listening to something, let's say you're not listening to Leander's new book, Johnny Ive, the Genius Behind Apple's Greatest Products, and you're listening to some garbage book, and you're like, this book sucks. Now I gotta get me a new book, hopefully something written by Leander Caney. You could trade it in. Audible lets you trade it in for free, no questions asked. You trade that book in that you don't like for one that you do like, and you could be listening to Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's Greatest Products, and in no time. And is Leander, please tell me that's narrated by you. It's not, is it?
No. It's by a pro down in L.A., and he's really good.
Does he have a sultry British accent?
No, he has an American accent. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's supposed to be one of the best. People said, oh, he's really good.
Oh, fantastic. So the people that have actually listened to the book said he has a sultry voice. Not quite as good as yours.
No, I knew.
Man, did you consider doing it yourself?
I wasn't even in the...
Wait, you weren't even in the ring to do your own book?
No.
Can't you request that?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It never came up, and I didn't want to do it, so...
Well, there you go. Well, the nice thing about Audible, again, is that you're not renting these books. Like, any book that you get from Audible, you own, and you can listen to it on your own time, on any device that plays an MP3, which is pretty much everything. You can listen to them on your Kindle, on your iPad, on your Kindle Fire HD. So, definitely want to thank Audible for sponsoring. Head on over to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. You're going to get a free 30-day trial, and you get a free book with your 30-day trial. And may I recommend Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products? Because I know we have probably a lot of people out there who have never read your book, and now is a great opportunity because if they sign up for a free trial, they get the book for free. So
yeah.
audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. You'll be listening to a great book, supporting us by supporting our sponsor, and also supporting Leander. That's like a win-win-win, which rarely exists.
That's right.
Yeah. So thanks, Audible. Okay, let's talk about Katie Cotton. Hot off the press, apparently Apple's one of their most longtime PR people and the person who rarely answers any of our emails is retiring. Buster, did you want to say a few words about Katie Cotton? Have you had any interaction with her?
I haven't had any interaction with her personally, but I'm kind of wondering if it's going to change Apple's approach with the press. Because like the last 2 days, I've actually received calls from Apple PR, which is like really...
Whoa. Yeah. I'm not even being sarcastic here. That's incredible.
I know. No, I was like really jazzed. Totally serious. I was like, I got to brag to somebody about this. So I told Alex.
Wow. He's like, dude, that sucks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was just a boilerplate statement that they had already given everybody else.
Did one have the word auto reply in the subject by chance? Yeah. So, but that's cool. They actually responded.
Yeah, but
because under Katie Cotton's regime, that probably.
Yeah, her stance for a long time has been like only the exclusive and cool publications get access to Apple.
Well, that's what always confused me because I knew that was kind of like her credo. And I'm like, well, then why aren't our emails getting returned?
Nuts.
Right?
Well.
That's really weird. Leander, did you have something you wanted to add? You said you had some inside information that people would be shocked to hear. What was it?
No, I don't have any inside information. I know she's got a couple of teenage kids and she... retired to spend more time with her kids. I'm sure she's been there since before Jobs returned, and she was a big
wow.
She helped Jobs a lot with his relations with the press. Mm-hmm. John Schwartz at USA Today, he's a friend of mine. He was a longtime reporter, and he was one of the there was four or five publications that used to get access to Steve Jobs after his Macworld keynotes, and it was always in the same order. It would always and depending on the size of the publication, so it would be. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, then him at USA Today. Mm-hmm. And he said the New York Times reporter was always late. And so he'd be sitting there. They'd be lined up in chairs outside this little sort of green room cubicle where Steve would be holding court. and the New York Times, yeah. New York Times is always late, right? Uh-huh. So and it would cut into his time, so he'd be seething with rage, you know, while he was in there, and you could hear them laughing and whatever. But when he got in, like, it used to be Jobs would sit across from him, mm-hmm. and kind of quiz him about what he thought about the product. So, and Jobs would be interviewing John Schwartz, the reporter, as much as, you know, the reporter was interviewing Jobs. He'd always want to know what did he think about this new product they just unveiled at this Macworld keynote. But, you know, he said that Katie Cotton eventually made him sit next to the reporter and, you know, sort of put it in his lap and make it much more intimate. Hmm. And, you know, the idea was to make it, you know, Jobs seem a little more human, a little less intimidating. But he said it was even more scary when he was sitting next to you than it was sitting opposite you. And John, you know, being a reporter for USA Today, which, you know, obviously it's not, doesn't have the same, you know, clout that it did back then. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, the biggest national newspaper in the country. So. He got to, you know, he knows Jobs going all the way back to Next and stuff like that. And he said Katie's influence on Jobs was pretty, you know, she was one of his most trusted counsel.
Wow.
And that she had a big influence on how he dealt with the press. You know, like he always hated the press, and it was like, you know, part of the job, unfortunately. But she tried to make him seem a little more, you know, a little more human, a little more empathetic towards the press. But they had a lot of tricks, you know, that they developed, and she obviously helped him develop these tricks. As they played off these rivalries in the press, you know, Newsweek against Time, and Business Week against Fortune and Forbes. And they would, you know, they would try to get exclusives and cover stories. You know, if they're going to come out with a big product, they would offer the reporters sneak peeks behind the scenes. They say, okay, you know, your reporter can come down, hang out for a couple of days, talk to the executives, and get the sort of, you know, inside story about the making of this product, only if you guarantee us a you know, a cover story.
Wow.
And they'd always say, well, we would never do that kind of thing. But then he would say, well, you know, Newsweek's going to do it. And, you know, if you don't want Newsweek to do it, then you know, you better take us up on it. And whoever says yes first. So they pulled tricks like that. She was very savvy.
Wow.
About how the press worked.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to have a really... strong, this is going to sound bad, but I think to some extent it's true, a strong command over the press.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, definitely.
The press wanted to be at their events. People felt cool if they got to go to their events, and they definitely seemed to have kind of a silent form of influence over what people would say.
Oh, they played the press like a fiddle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always on their terms.
Huh. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Leander.
Well, you know, if you upset him, then you got cut off. So.
Right, exactly. And you kind of knew that, right? I mean, we even have talked about Apple and past shows and press events and stuff. And it's like, even we were like a little bit like, we don't really know if we should be mentioning this for the Apple police come to our house and collect us. And
well,
be seen again.
You know, a lot of publications that, you know, have a lot to lose. And so, you know, they're compromised. In fact, well... I don't want to get into it, but, you know, I know more than I can say.
Oh, I'm sure you'll do. And you do.
Well, I had a really interesting conversation with the next Apple PR woman who'd been there for years, and she spelled out for me exactly how it works.
Really?
And I'm still trying to get it to go on the you know, to give this to me on or off the record.
Well, if you get it, can you make sure that you record it either? Let her know that you're recording it, or do it secretly. Tell her you're not going to record it, but yet still record it. Is it illegal? I don't know. Yeah, it just seems maybe like it'd be unethical at best.
Not only is it unethical, it's totally illegal.
I'm okay with unethical. Illegal, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's illegal.
That is really fascinating to see if their philosophy and the way they treat the press will change, because it is an interesting topic to me, because, again, they have so much influence over the press, and it's a cash cow. You know, if you're going to get exclusive coverage of the next iPad-type device and no one else is, you're going to sell a lot of ads. And you're going to make a lot of money, and you're going to increase the value of your brand, because people are going to see, oh my gosh, like Apple's doing an exclusive with, you know, company A, like that makes you seem important.
Yeah.
All right. Totally. I think we beat that horse to death. Okay, let's talk about the NSA.
Oh, yes.
And then I think that we should probably wrap up with a get to know your cultist. I'm excited to hear what your guys' answers
are. Oh, I know what I'm going to say.
Are you? Okay.
I got a good answer.
I'm always going to be an expert crumpet baker. One does not bake a crumpet, Erfan. You said that to me last show. I don't think I'll ever forget it because you were so serious about it. I had offended you to the core.
I know, yeah, the national dish.
I know, sorry. I apologize. I'll always be apologizing. So apparently Apple is going to be defying authorities. And the next time the NSA wants to take some type of information about you from Apple, they are going to notify you on your phone. So, and this is a policy I think Microsoft and Facebook are also implementing. I think this is cool. I'm a little worried about getting a notification on my phone.
I know.
But at least now I'll know that I need to escape to Colombia immediately. Preceding that, Apple's going to send you a text. Hey, NSA wants to know why you're trafficking so much fine cocaine. You should probably leave the country. But seriously, isn't this going to be somewhat bad for people that maybe are being investigated and now they're essentially going to get a notification from Apple that, you know, the NSA, some police organization is requesting your information. Maybe you should up and leave. Maybe you should leave the country. What do you guys think?
You know, it's not a criminal investigation, is it? They're not, and they're still, aren't they still hampered by some, in some form or another?
Yeah, there are, like,
well,
I mean,
the NSA,
on, like,
so no.
On, well, no, well, on top, on some cases, it, there's still a binding, what's it called? Where you can't talk about it.
Oh, you mean? But
certain investigations, they can't disclose it, right? I think it was an ongoing criminal investigation. They're just trying to warn people if there's going to be one of these sort of, you know, they're throwing a wide net and they're starting to pull in. They want to get, you know, everybody's text messages for, you know, the last 6 months, that kind of thing. Like, if you know, if they're throwing a wide net around something.
So not specifically like investigation related, you're saying it's more like, hey, NSA wants your text messages. They're asking for everyone's. We're going to go ahead and give them to them.
I think so. Well, I think it's a little, yeah.
I don't think it's that as big of a wide a net as that. Like everybody's, we're giving them everybody's. But I think it is like, you know, thousands of like potential people that they're looking at and stuff like that at a time where you're caught up in that.
Another companies have done this before, right? I mean, you know, Twitter's always been pretty good about giving people a heads up if anyone requests information from certain Twitter users. And they've often been in, like, you know, like, it's never been sort of clear cut where they're telling, you know, coke dealers to skedaddle.
Right.
It's usually like
if like somebody's in danger, if like it's a case like that where like a kid's in danger or somebody else, they also will like have a gag order on it so Apple can't tell people in instances like that too.
Drive faster, Amber Alert has been issued for your arrest.
Yeah.
Sincerely, Apple. apparently prosecutors are a little worried about this because they think it might undermine their investigations by tipping off criminals. I'm not really sure exactly how I feel about that, but it is good to know that Apple is at least somewhat on our side when it comes to information being collected without us knowing about it, when there really isn't any good reason for information to be collected about us, you know, such as when your phone call logs are being collected, when your text message logs are being collected. I certainly would like to know about that, you know, so... If you get a text from Apple saying that you've mentioned the word jihad in your text message log too many times, right. Thanks, Apple. I might need to tone that down. NSA is coming calling, huh?
You should really assume that you're being monitored everything you do anyway. So
you really feel that way? Do you really feel that way? I don't. I have some semblance of privacy left.
No, it's been long. You know, I don't know if anyone's actively looking, but. You know, that data is being collected and someone can go back and look at it if they ever wanted to. I think there's no doubt about that.
You're saying, you know, you should be aware when you're transmitting this information. It could potentially be viewed by anybody.
Right. And it'll stick around for a long, long time.
Sure. Like your Twitter stuff and your Facebook stuff, but like your personal text messages and stuff. I don't think that is being monitored. In fact, Apple has made a point to say that that stuff is being encrypted to a point where even they don't have access to it. Like the encryption keys, from my understanding, are stored on your devices. Like
RSA said the same thing, and they were selling, and you know, they'd given the NSA, and the NSA had cracked it. So, you know, I don't think you can really trust what they say.
But you guys think like our internet browsing logs are safe, right? Like those, there's no one going to be perusing those, right?
No,
those are safe, right? Because I mean, I was kind of assuming that those were safe, guys. Oh wait, I just got a text message from Apple. Okay, well there you go. Thank you, Apple, for protecting us or trying to from the NSA. Let's go ahead and wrap up with a get to know your cult. This is, of course, the segment where we let our listeners ask us a question that we will then answer. This one comes from James Adam from our Facebook page. By the way, we would love for you to contribute your get to know your cultist suggestions or other topics on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Okay, James asks, what would your ideal job be if you could do anything? Does anyone want to start?
Oh, I thought Leander was really excited.
Actually, I thought so too. I was kind of waiting for Leander to pipe in. Well, Leander, why don't you go?
Well, I didn't think it out. I was going to say, you know, I took Katie Cotton's job. I work as PR director at Apple.
But still be running Cult to Mac.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Every week is a new scoop, Cult to Mac, from Seattle PR or Apple PR director, Leander Cady.
I know, Leander Cady just declined a comment.
But seriously, what's your dream job? What's your dream job, Leander? You came to America with big hair and a big dream and a big suitcase. What was in that suitcase? Well, wasn't it like an Apple computer?
Yeah, one of them was a Mac, my dad's Mac.
That's awesome.
And I wanted to be a newspaper reporter. So I wrote to like almost every newspaper in the country begging for a job, anything, even an unpaid internship. And for my sins, I got one here in California.
Careful what you wish for, kids.
And I ended up at the Sacramento Union, which is like this crazy right-wing newspaper. It's just about to go out of business. And they're hiring me, tipped them over. That was the last straw that broke the back. And it closed up after 6 months.
Jeez. I don't picture you at a conservative newspaper.
Oh, yeah. I was a little bit of a fish out of water there. But they didn't have any other, they laid off most of the staff anyway. So
sorry, I sneezed.
I wanted to be a newspaper reporter, but yeah, no, I think doing what I'm doing now, you know, like working on the web, is just about as awesome as you can get.
Buster?
I like my job right now.
Of course. Sure you do, Buster. Sure you do.
No, I mean, if I could do anything, it would probably be like, getting paid to just like be out in the wilderness and be a mountain man or something like that. That would be cool. I'm not good at like foraging for food or anything, but if I could get paid to like, live outside and write about it or something, that'd be fun.
Like maybe like you could be a forest ranger.
Yeah, but then you got to deal with people. I'd rather be by myself.
So you want to be a gainfully employed hermit?
Yeah, hermit. Back in the woods.
I'm not sure how you get paid to do that, but there's got to be a way.
That's why, yeah.
Maybe you could
parachute your paycheck into some forest.
your paycheck would just be like a little cube of food and toiletries.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It would just be supplies.
Yeah, like something to sharpen your knives. Well, mine's gonna be a little bit more exotic. I when I was in junior high school, always wanted to be a musician. I played instruments growing up. I always wanted to be a rock star. I mean, I am a rock star. Look at me. But, you know, in a proper rock band. And I always joke and tell people that if I could do anything I want, I would be the fifth member of the band U2, because I love U2 so much. But that's actually not true. I wouldn't want to be the fifth member. I would want to be Bono. Because I've seen U2 in concert like 5 times. And he's an incredible performer, and they have the best shows, and they do a really amazing job of integrating visual technology and lights and pyrotechnics into this incredible music experience that's kind of almost like going to a big church. Have you guys ever been to a U2 show?
No.
No.
Yeah, you guys are. Listen to Buster. Listen to the way he said it. No. 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 He's like, that sounds like the worst thing ever. I'd rather clean the porta potties at a U2 show than have to listen to the music. So yeah, that's what I would do. Either that or maybe take up acting and not like in a play. Maybe like I could be like the next Tom Cruise or something.
Okay. Okay. Very realistic ambition.
Maybe I could be Tom Cruise's assistant.
Plus, you know, that kind of stuff. I read an interview with, what's his name? Who's that British actor? I can't stand. I hate his guts.
That Colin one Kirk? British accent?
Hugh, what's his face?
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant? I hate his guts, but he had this interview where he was complaining about how much he hates himself. He cannot stand himself. He can't watch himself in his movies. He feels like a fraud every time he goes on set. He hates his life. This is when he was going out with what's-her-face. Elizabeth what's-her-face.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley?
It was a revelation. I'm going, my God, you know, like here's a guy you'd think would not, who would be loving his life, but he hated every single aspect of it.
I mean, you're never a prophet in your own land, right? And I wonder if you could just never be a fan of your own work. Like you always see the stuff that's wrong with it and not the stuff that people love about it.
Right. Yeah, true enough. But he hated everything else about his life too. That was funny.
He's like, I'm actually thinking about killing myself. during the interview.
He used to get really depressed and it was really hard for him to go to work and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was like all this sort of stuff. And he got frustrated and he felt like an idiot and a fraud. And it was funny. It was like, you know, well, I think everyone, almost everybody, you know, anyone who, any, a lot of, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people with you know, feel that way about their lives, don't they? And their jobs and their situation.
Yeah, I guess everyone secretly does hate themselves and their lives. Well, this has been the Cultcast, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Ending on a gun.
I can't believe we put out another piece of crap Cultcast, all right?
You know, I like making this show.
I do too. I mean, I rarely listen to it, but yeah, it's great making it.
That's done listening to it. Right?
No, like, but seriously, to your point, Leander, there's probably a glamorous side to it, and then there's always the parts that people don't think about. You know, it's like no one wants to pay their dues. They want to have all the great like stuff about the job, like maybe the fame or the notoriety or whatever, or to have the skill set. But actually getting to the point where you have all that stuff probably is the part that really sucks, especially being a musician. And or being like a recognized musician or a recognized actor, that happens to so few people. It's probably like winning the lottery. And think of all the other people that tried to do it and didn't. They're all working at Denny's in California or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, Martin Amis, the British author, said, you know, he called these people the lucky unlucky, and that they seem to have these glamorous lives. But the stuff that attracted them to it in the first place, like the fame, turned out to be the worst part of it. And I think, you know, all these stars that attack the paparazzi, you know, like losing your privacy, I think is probably one of the worst things that can happen when you become famous, because, you know, it's a strange commodity, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's taken for granted. And yet if you lose it, I think it drives you crazy.
It drives you insane. I watched a documentary about Johnny Carson, who I really admire Johnny Carson and his work. Or, you know, I used to admire him. And he said fame is a paradox, right? Because you want everyone to know who you are and to recognize you for the work that you're doing. But then when you go out with your kids, everyone's taking pictures of you and you can't do anything. You have no anonymity anymore. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't go to the movies, because everywhere you go, you're hounded. I mean, even if you go to like a public restroom, there's people sliding notes under the door and peeking and taking pictures of you in the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the reality of being famous in our country anyway. And that doesn't sound appealing at all.
No, it's awful. It's a terrible way to live.
I don't want anyone to peep in on me when I'm making a number two and see what Except I'm reading on my iPhone. Yeah. Anyway, I think we've sufficiently gone off the rails enough where we could say we should probably go ahead and wrap it up. We went over as usual, but hey, the good stuff always comes at the end, hey fellows? So thanks everyone for sticking through all the way to the end. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. We would so thoroughly enjoy if you'd come say hi to us on Twitter. You'll hear me bitching about net neutrality. I'm at Airfon, Leander's L. Kenny, Buster's BST3R, and of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you guys later. Give us a nice British next time.
Next time.
That was too nice.
Too nice?
I needed to be more enthusiastic, yeah.
Oh, I thought you wanted like BBC.
Oh, is that like a BBC next time?
Absolutely, they don't get too excited on that.
They never get excited at all. All right, great. That was good, guys. Lander, thanks for sticking around to the end. I'm glad that you got to answer that question because I wanted to hear what your answer was.
I wish I'd thought about it a minute before I'd answered.
Was it really? Did you really want to be a journalist? Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I always wanted to be a journalist. And for my sins, I became one. But I think, I don't know. You know, like I think like running an ice cream truck wouldn't be too bad.
I either wanted to be a journalist or that guy who gives you the popsicle on a hot day.
I don't know. There's something about an ice cream truck, like the truck driving around, the music, the kids, the ice cream.
The taking money from kids sounds great.
Right. It's good, you know, because they won't try to rip you off or they don't come up with some, you know, they're not going to be printing out. If they print out a fake $100 bill, it's going to be really obvious and easy to spot. You know, I don't think. You just wouldn't. It'd have to. They're not going to be yelling and screaming, you know. Like
I don't know. I think there's plenty of kids that would be yelling and screaming, and then there's the ones that will like try to like, you know, get you to be mad. They spray paint your truck, and then you get all mad and come out, and they kick you in the nuts or something, and steal all your popsicles.
Yeah, there's always that, I guess.
I could picture you as a popsicle man, the ice cream man. Get you one of those little hats, Leander's ice creams.
Yeah. With my horrible rotten teeth.
Kaffir cone,
like a cigarette in my mouth. What do you want, kids? No, we're out.
And then you take their dollar bill anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, give me that. All right, gotta go now. I'll be all drunk, too.